Campbell and Bill Shorten are set to face off in their first formal debate of the election campaign. The Prime Minister and opposition leader have had the weekend to prepare for the showdown at the National Press Club in Canberra tonight. The leaders will be grilled by three senior political journalists in the hour-long debate, which contrasts to the town hall-style People's Forum held in Western Sydney earlier this month. Police are trying to track down what they call cowardly protesters who covered their faces and went to a Melbourne rally looking to start a fight. Arthur Stevens has more.
Seven people were arrested as more than 500 rallied in heavy rain against both Islam and racism in Melbourne's northern suburb of Coburg yesterday. Police say a number of people who hid their faces are to blame for violent clashes between rival groups during the rally at Bridges Reserve. Five were arrested for riotous behaviour and assaulting and hindering police, while two more were apprehended for carrying knives and other weapons. Arthur Stevens, Melbourne.
Meanwhile, a 20-year-old man has been charged with rioting in connection with a brawl involving up to 100 people at a train station in Sydney's West last month. His detention brings the number of those arrested after the April 7 fight at Mount Druitt Station to 18. Police say they seized items including a Molotov cocktail, a knife and a golf club following the brawl, and a 54-year-old woman suffered head and neck injuries. Queensland police are calling for help from anyone who witnessed two motorbikes collide with a ute yesterday, leaving a man seriously hurt. The motorcyclists crashed into the vehicle as it was about to turn right at an intersection in the Gold Coast suburb of Upper Coomera. A man in his 20s sustained serious injuries while two women were uninjured. A 42-year-old motorcyclist has been killed in a crash with another vehicle in Perth's south. Police say the man's bike was struck by a vehicle exiting a T-junction in Medina late yesterday afternoon. The head of the Queensland Teachers Union says the Aurukun community needs to be involved in deciding the future direction of its school. Kevin Bates welcomes Education Minister Kate Jones's review into the Cape York Aboriginal Australian Academy campus, but says it's crucial ideas about improving the school and addressing unrest in the far north Queensland town came from the community and isn't imposed on them. Overseas and US regulators have launched a probe into complaints by United States Steel Corp that Chinese competitors stole secrets, fixed prices, and misrepresented the origin of their exports to the United States. US Steel is seeking to halt nearly all imports from China's largest steel producers, even as China denies wrongdoing and is opposed to the International Trade Commission's investigation. Patrice Howard reports from Los Angeles.
US Steel filed its original complaint a month ago, suggesting it was the victim of a 2011 computer hacking incident that also prompted U.S. federal cyber espionage indictments against five Chinese military officials. The steelmaker claims hackers stole data on production techniques, which therefore helped Chinese competitors to replicate products decades in the making. Regulators have not made public the merits of the case, though Chinese authorities oppose the U.S. probe and are encouraging their own firms to defend themselves. Patrice Howard, Los Angeles.
Also in news, a 43-year-old man is missing in New South Wales's Hunter Valley. The man was last seen early yesterday morning when he left the Timor Cave camping ground. This is Air News. St George Illawarra have moved back into the NRL top eight with a 14-10 win over a depleted North Queensland in Wollongong. The turning point came when Lachlan Coote, filling in at 5-8, failed to find touch in the 62nd minute, allowing St George Illawarra centre Ewan Aitken to score the winning try from the ensuing set. The Cowboys, without Origin playmakers Jonathan Thurston, Michael Morgan, Matt Scott, James Tamu and Justin O'Neill, missed a chance to leapfrog Brisbane into third spot. Australia's Scott Hend will take a one-shot lead into the final round of golf's PGA Championship at Wentworth after a day when many struggled. Rupert Bell has the details.
A bizarre day which began with three players at 10 under par, including Masters champion Danny Willett and Hend. At first, Willett appeared in control, but for the second day running, a nightmare back nine saw him slip to four over par and will begin just three behind Hend. The Australian ended his round with a brilliant eagle at the par 5 18th to lead by one from Tyrrell Hatton on 9 under. The Englishman hit a best of the day 66 to be on 8 under. Also in the hunt is Lee Westwood, the former world number one but yet to win the BMW PGA, and despite playing with a twisted ankle, carded a 68 to be just two back.
Also in sport, tennis wildchild Nick Kyrgios has been fined $6,200 for an audible obscenity during his straight sets French Open thrashing by ninth seed Richard Gasquet. And in AFL, wins to the Saints, Hawks, Crows, Port Power and the Tigers. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny, winds westerly 15 to 25 k's, tending southwesterly later in the morning. 0% chance of any rainfall. Sydney's heading for a top temperature today of 19 degrees after a brisk start. Jimmy, what about at Tremoyne and out at Dubbo?
Tremoyne today, a maximum of 19 degrees there as well, Raymond. And out at Dubbo, what about this? Partly cloudy today for Dubbo. A maximum temperature, have a guess.
18?
15 degrees.
Cool.
The Cessnock Cup was first run back in 1978
when a young Robert Thompson steered Rosie Eyre to victory.
This Monday, catch Tab Talk, the Early Mail and the National Racing Service for a complete coverage of this year's Cessnock Cup race day. Where else but on Sky Sports Radio.
Lionel, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
Two.
At DNV, we have an end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's three. Okay, maybe two.
You'll find some great deals right now at DNV.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Races up to hit the lead. She should have won the Epsom. It's all over. Ecuador's Sons of John Messine for the Miners at Bowman. High in the irons, gives the big salute.
Thurston to choose from his coat. He hits it.
To the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Jimmy and Ray, right up until 9 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to taking your calls within the program. 1353 53 can get you a part of the show. 0419 SMSBSB, that's 0419 767 272 can do the same thing, and you can get us on the tweets as well. At Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. A full program. Origin Eve. For us here on the Big Sports Breakfast Sunday edition, the weekend edition. But first up, we're going to have a chat with Adam Hieronymus. Good performance from him yesterday on Ecuador. We'll do our race replays as well. Raymond, we'll look forward to that. Michael Hawks with another one for the Hawks Yard. It's incredible. They keep having a great strike rate, producing some very good horses there. We'll speak to Michael about that. And Bjorn Baker comes on the program quite often, quite readily. Appears in the one-on-one program. On Sky Racing, and then what do you know? Breaks the duck.
Gets a group one.
Climbs his Mount Everest.
Yep.
Gets his group one. So Bjorn is a great supporter of the program. We'll have a chat to him. Andy Pascalese, I can tell you at the moment, in the 61st minute, the Champions League final, Real Madrid currently leading 1-0 against Atletico. So there you go, 1-0. We'll keep you updated with that throughout the course of the morning. Andy will give us more information on that. We've got our ZNZ Watch quiz. We'll have a chat with Zorba about the state of rugby league. I tell you what, he's very good, Zorb, excuse me, in picking the winner of the state of origin.
Yeah, and
because good form, most often he's gone for Queensland over the last decade. So he's been very good at that. I don't think our one of our special guests will go for Queensland. We've got Ben Elias, bouncing Benny Elias. Mm-hmm. He'll be our blues man, and we'll speak to Kevin Walters inside the Queensland camp as well. Great to have the Queensland coach on. He's been in obviously a lot of media outlets because of the nature of the beast. It's such a massive animal that you need to feed. But he's so brutally honest
and seems relaxed. First time at the helm, but he seems so relaxed. Speaking of which, Jimmy, we've got obviously it's close to a sellout Wednesday night for the first game at ANZ Stadium, but we've got two tickets to give away later in the show to Origin 1 on Wednesday night.
How good is that?
Outstanding. Are you going, Jim?
Yeah.
I'm not going.
You're not going?
No.
Even with all your great contacts, you haven't got yourself a freebie. After all those free events you've been to over the years, Ray, you couldn't manage one here.
These tickets are like goal, Jim.
How was the Panthers game? It was good.
It was. Yeah, I know. Panthers didn't play very well last Sunday.
No, they didn't, did they?
No.
The Titans played well though. They were
Titans
impressive.
Did play well.
Yeah. Dean Bulldog Richie, he's been ensconced
very hard
in Camp Blue. That's up there at Coffs Harbour. So we'll have a chat to Dino. He'll give us all the latest news coming out of that camp as well. So dare I say it, Raymond?
Massive
program. Yeah. Massive program coming up. Let's go through some of the scores of the National Rugby League. 18 points to 19. The Tigers get home against the Broncos. Mm. No wonder Wayne Bennett was whinging a little bit earlier before this game. To be honest, no one to blame but themselves for that performance. And well done, the Tigers. Put in a really good 80-minute performance, I think, near enough to their best of the season. Mm-hmm. And probably, I mean, Tim Simona catches that ball, they would have won it comfortably.
Yep. Best team won that night.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Last night, your boys, the Dragons, 14 points to 10 against the Cowboys.
Did it tough, but I thought the best team won.
Probably. Mm. Yeah, probably. I think they probably created more chances. Yep. Benji Marshall, everyone, 13-53-53. We're going to install you as chief executive officer of any club in the National Rugby League.
How much do you pay for Benji?
Or do you pay anything for him? That's the question. No, and I mean that. Do you have him in your club? And if so, how much of your salary cap are you prepared to chew up? Let's assume the salary cap's $7 million. $7 million salary cap, right? First of all, do you have him in your club?
He wants a one-year contract, doesn't he?
He does?
Yeah.
Well, I think no one's offering him a two-year one. So.
Yeah. Look, he did some good things last night, but Benny being Benny, he's mercurial, isn't he, if that's the right word to use. Jim, there was some good things and there was some stuff when you couldn't look either.
Yeah.
But, he wants 350, doesn't he?
No, he was offered 350, which he scoffed at on NRL 360.
Would have taken that.
And from what I understand, they've now come back, the Dragons, this is according to newspaper reports yesterday, come back the Dragons and offered 300. And now they're looking very closely at that. So that might, there's a story in that in itself.
I think Benji should take the 300.
To me, but and the reason that they're offering him a one-year deal at 300 is there's a lot of halfbacks off contract the following year. So there's no job certainty associated with it. In saying that, depends which Benji Marshall you get. If you get the guy that goes to the line and puts his body on the line,
he did it a few times last night.
Football,
he did it a few times last night.
And when he goes harder to get, it makes defence.
When
really,
he goes sideways, Jim.
When he goes sideways, it doesn't work for anyone.
No.
So if you can coach Benji Marshall, and I'm assuming you can, and I mean that, you know, if he takes instruction and you get his commitment, you know, he has been a star of the game, and I think he can offer something.
He's still good. He's still great to watch. And like last night, he did go, he did run at the line. When he did that a few times, he was terrific. Some of his defence was good. He did miss one awful miss, which led to a try.
Jerome Hughes, good try that from the young fella.
But overall, he played it. Gareth Widdup, I thought, was outstanding last night. And I was happy to see Kurt Mann do some good things because early in the season, he had a couple of absolute barriers, didn't he?
Round one and round two.
Yeah. And he hasn't been sighted in first grade since. Played in the wing last night. Look, Carl Veltz's been in great form, did score a try over the top of him at one stage, which no one could have
impressed with that. That was a big AFL mark, that one.
No one could have stopped that probably. No. But overall, I thought he actually had a pretty good game, Kurt Mann, did some good things, and hopefully put around behind him those two nightmares of round one and round two, Jim.
Great Holden Cup clash, 30-all between the Cowboys and the Dragons. The Raiders and the Bulldogs today, that's down in the nation's capital. Remember this game last year, Ray?
Raiders Bulldogs, no.
41 points to 34. Yes. It was the craziest game of football. The craziest game of football, bar none.
Mm.
Bar none.
Did you cover that one last year?
Oh, I remember watching it. No, I didn't cover it. I just watched it. It was absolutely crazy. Josh Reynolds got the field goal, and then they scored a late try. But they led by a heap, and then the Raiders came back, and crazy game. So hopefully something similar today we can enjoy down there in the nation's capital. And then the Knights versus the Eels on Monday night. But, of course, we're all thinking Wednesday night, right? Can I get an early prediction from you and take out your heart and do it with your head?
Can't tip against the Blues. Do it every year, Jim.
Even with your head and your heart?
Every year you do the same thing and you get rolled. But I don't know, Jim. I'm hoping New South Wales will pick the right side. The weather forecast might actually work in Laurie's favour. A bit of rain coming, so we might get an affected
a lot of rain
on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So he's tipped a, he's picked a big team, a lot of big forwards, a huge bench. So it's obviously how he's going to play this football game on Wednesday night.
But that's how all Origins are played.
Yeah, I just wonder if we've got enough points in us. I'll preface that by saying, have the Blues got enough points in them?
We.
Yeah, I don't like saying we. Yeah. Have the Blues got enough points in them, Jim?
Well, the question then remains, how many do they need? I was listening to some records the last, last six games at ANZ Stadium. Queensland's only won two of them.
Yep.
And that's over the last 5 years. And the one last year, remember, was by 1 point.
That's right.
When Cooper Cronk went down and got the field goal because New South Wales couldn't do that. So they've been there or thereabouts. And I think ANZ Stadium is a very different proposition from a Suncorp Stadium, as we saw game three last year. But I like a lot of the things about the team that he's picked.
And you're
bewildered by some of the others. I don't know why Dylan Walker got a start. I don't know. I can see much better value in other players, most notably Jack Bird. I think Jack Bird's very unlucky to be playing.
Is Dylan Walker going to come off the bench and play a dummy half role and speed out a dummy half?
No. I would have thought no. I reckon Josh Jackson will go to dummy half when Robbie Farah gets a break. I think they've got concerns about whether Robbie Farah can play 80 minutes.
I thought they brought Dylan Walker in so he could do that dummy half role.
I'm sure he'll run out of dummy half, but I don't think he'll play dummy half, which is very different. The absence of Bryce Cartwright, I think, is a disappointment.
Yeah, he was a man I was hoping would be picked in the 17. He was picked in the 19.
Yeah.
And then he's got a broken thumb, I think, Jim, or a thumb injury. Either way, he's not in the squad. I was hoping he'd make the team just to give us that attacking option. So your tip Wednesday night, Jim?
Cooper Cronk plays Queensland.
Okay.
Cooper Cronk doesn't play New South Wales. Have you heard that stat over the last 8 Origins? Queensland have won 5 and New South Wales have won 3, and the 3 games that New South Wales have won,
no Cooper.
Cooper Cronk didn't play in 2 of them, and in the other one he broke his arm within 10 minutes.
He didn't play.
So essentially didn't play.
The tip is he'll be there.
Yeah, right. Well, if he is, I'll have to pump for Queensland. I don't want to. I want New South Wales to win. Let me clear that up, right?
Okay.
So that if there's any. But I'm taking out the heart and putting on the head. Just too many great players.
One of our listeners said, Ray, you're tipping New South Wales, but if you were forced to have a large bet, who would you back?
That's an excellent question. Put the hard earn on the line.
Or Queensland then.
Hey, now we've got an interesting talk topic.
Yeah, I'm betting with your money, Jim. Yeah, Queensland.
Yeah right. well done last week on War Pig.
Oh, yeah. My man Nick Ashman is currently in Italy.
Really?
Yeah, he's over in Italy, but having a bit of a holiday now, and he part owns the great War Pig.
So War Pig, all the boys from Fox were on. I turned up yesterday and they were saying, yeah, the pig.
The odds tumbled, Jim. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Win's a win.
I said, it was paying $3.20. And they said, it was paying $2.20. And the bloke said, well, as soon as Ray Thomas tips it, all the money comes in for it. That's what he said.
That's your money, is it, Jim, coming on?
That's what I said. But anyway.
A win's a win.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Well done. We've got a talk topic today that, to be honest, I'm a little nervous about. But anyway, here we go. And you came up with it during the week, didn't you, Ray?
You liked it when I came up with it.
That was good.
But you're lukewarm this morning, aren't you?
As I said, must have caught me in a good mood earlier in the week, which is most unusual, Ray. Your timing was excellent. 13:53:53. Great names in sport. Funny names in sport. Want to start us off, Raymond? You usually steal all of mine early.
No,
so
I don't.
Come on, you go now.
When I text you, I was just thinking US golfers, and there's been some cracking names in US golf.
Fuzzy Zoller.
Fred Funk. Boo Weekly. So I just thought, funny names in sport.
Right.
But
that's what you've got.
Have you
got any others?
That's about it.
Have we got a prize?
Well, we've got a prize.
Can we make the Sony Music CDs?
Yeah, well, it's some fantastic ones today.
We've got our 3-question quiz. We've got some prizes today. Yeah.
Two Origin tickets later for ANZ Stadium Wednesday night.
The little show that could on a Sunday morning, huh? Okay, funny names. I'm just going to throw it there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I like it. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's the most unusual name, isn't it? He was an NBA superstar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And, of course, a fine actor in his own right.
You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hey, you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, I'm not. Anyway, we can talk flying high all morning. We won't, but we'll do our best to quote it throughout the course of the next 3 hours. 13:53:53 is the open line number. We're having a break and we're back with more.
Simon Harrison here.
Radio and racing are in my blood.
That's why I get so much pleasure in bringing you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage here on Sky Sports Radio. We always strive to provide our listeners with the very best, including interviews with the trainers and jockeys and our very successful market movers.
Simon Harrison, part of our team of winners, bringing you the best in racing every day during the National Racing Service here on Sky Sports Radio.
There's a smartphone built with more.
Feel the beat when you know.
More news, more talk, more live sport. More of the things you love. A smartphone with a digital radio. The new LG Stylus DAB+. The first ever digital radio smartphone. With a digital radio feature, you'll get less battery drain and be able to listen to all your favorite stations and up to 30 extra ones with no streaming costs. Get more. The LG Stylus DAB Plus smartphone with digital radio. Available from your Optus or Virgin Mobile store. Free the things you love.
Goss on your sport and your team. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Big racing yesterday at Randwick as well. We had the big Group 1, the Doomben 10,000. We're hopefully speaking to Bjorn Baker a little bit later on in the program. But this from the race, Ray. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Ray, your thoughts on yesterday's 10,000 brain explosions by jockeys Byrne, Purton and King, by setting a Donald Campbell land speed record afforded to their mounts. Jockey Sky Bogenhauser was handed a 2-month suspension in Toowoomba for a similar offence, yet these very senior riders got nothing, ? No doubt track bias was a contributor to this incompetent riding. Puzzling or what, Ray? Brett from Broadbeach.
Yeah, Brett's on the ball. I might sum this up from a little quote that John Thompson gave my good friend Brent Zarafa. He said there were two Group 1 races out there today. One of them is the spray I just gave Jimmy Byrne.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was the rider of Hooked. Apparently, from what I understand, Fell Swoop clipped heels early,
right,
got over racing, got up behind Two Blue, who's a natural front runner.
Yes.
Wanted to go harder and harder, gave Hooked a bump. Hooked at that stage was 3 wide. It began over racing, and that, as Brett so eloquently put, set a new Donald Campbell land speed record.
Yeah.
They went a million miles an hour out in front. Hooked and Fell Swoop essentially just couldn't come back underneath their jockeys. Poor Paul King on Two Blue, and Kristen Buchanan, the trainer, they thought they'd get an easy lead in the 10,000. It was nothing of the sort. It was like a quarter horse race for those three, and hence they had really had no chance, Jim.
Here's another one. Interesting to note that the Mackell Cup had a field of 12 runners and barriers 12, 11 and 10 field first, second and third placings respectively. And I'd bet my last dollar that that's the first time in history that a Boilermaker has trained the second place getter of the race. So Peter Rabel, the Boilermaker by trade, is he?
I didn't know that. I know he drives cars and stuff.
Motor
cars and stuff. Racing.
How'd you
cars.
Get here today, yeah, Ray?
Sorry, mate. I meant that by racing. He's a good man, Pete, actually.
He is a good fella. He is a good fella. I wonder if Julian Assange had a bet on Ecuador.
Very funny.
It's not bad, that. That's not bad, is it?
I like that.
Yeah.
Is he still in the embassy in England, in London?
I don't know, mate. To be honest, my following of the Julian Assange case
been going on
has
a long time
dropped
now.
Off a little. WikiLeaks.
London police have him on the corner, out the front, round the on the same block,
yeah,
waiting for him to walk out. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
G'day, boys. Edgar Britt. Cheers, Des. See, this is I think where
it's dangerous. This is dangerous.
There's another here from Jack from Mulbar that I can't really read out. Well, I suppose I can. It's the name. Anyway, I won't read that out. This is what you've started, right?
I didn't think it was this bad.
This
anyway.
Is what
this is going to be
there
hard.
You are, all fuzzy Zella, and we come up with all this stuff. But anyway, now racing at Royal Randwick yesterday. We're going to get to our race replays. A highlight for you yesterday?
Highlight? Well, I think Ecuador really in the Mackell Cup. Great front running ride from Adam Hieronymus, and for a horse who supposedly couldn't run 2,400 metres, he did it pretty easily, Jim, and now goes on to the Brisbane Cup. Raw Impulse was...
Yeah, now what's the story here? I can't believe... I couldn't believe that Darren Weir had never had a winner in Sydney.
Amazing.
How many runners has he had?
Not that many.
Right.
When I did research for that story, I kept checking 100 times, so I thought I must have this wrong.
Surely, yeah.
But when I rang Darren, he said, no, I've never had a winner in Sydney. And Raw Impulse was sent out $1.60 favourite, and his three Melbourne wins, he did look outstanding, but he hadn't beaten a lot. It was interesting. I thought on the home turn, no matter how far, he's given a lovely ride by Sam Clippen, eased out to the outside, best part of the track.
Yeah.
But as soon as Sam hit the go button, there was nothing there, and Sam Clippen said the horse just didn't stay 2,400, and this was a horse prior to the race that was equal favourite for the Caulfield Cup and the second line of betting for the Melbourne Cup, so he is out the gate now, Raw Impulse.
And so that's disappointing too. Three winners for Glenn Schofield. We're going to have a chat with Glenn a little bit later on in the program as well.
Oh, we just missed a fourth too in the last.
Yeah, what happened there? Protest, Bull Rush gets the win, impressive performance.
Ray Murray, his last race as a Sydney chief steward, double protest just for something different for him. Not against the winner, Bull Rush. He held on to win and win fairly, but there was a bit of a drama with the second, third and fourth over the line. Protests by the third and fourth over the line jockeys against the second place getter were both upheld, hence Disgraceful and Invincible were elevated into second spot, and Roguish, ridden by Taylor Marshall, was second over the line, was relegated back into fourth position, and Taylor got a short suspension for it. Roguish just sort of became very wayward late in the race, came out underneath Invincible, collided into that, who then collided into Disgraceful. Both the jockeys of Invincible and Disgraceful thought they would have won, Jim, with clear runs, but that's taking nothing away from Bull Rush, who's 5 from 5 now, has gone through his grades. Really promising horse, overcame a wide barrier yesterday, had to cross and lead, and he just held on to win. But look, there's a lot of good vibes out of the Hawks team about this horse. He's a potential group horse in the making.
79th minute of this Champions League final. Real Madrid 1-0 against Atletico at this point. 1-0 Real Madrid. And as you said, we'll keep you updated with that throughout the course of the morning. Citizen Tiger sends us in a tweet. Thanks, Citizen Tiger. Still going, Just talking about the program. Yep, still going. Still going strong, to be honest, Citizen Tiger. Sport or just horses? No, we cover all sport here. Appreciate your interest. So, we are still going. We might have had ourselves a goal. Looks like Atletico has scored, and it is 1-1. So, there you go. Going crazy over there, as you can imagine. Not sure who the goal scorer was, but we'll get that to you a little bit later. Remember, we're going to speak to Andy Pascalides. And what does this say about the strength of Spanish football? Dominating, isn't it?
And Madrid football.
Madrid. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good point, right? 1353-53 is the open line number. Looks like Trevor. Is Trevor trying to give us a call there? Okay, we leave him alone.
We're trying to get Trevor. A couple more names here. Jimmy, Don from Carlton, golfer, Dickie Pride.
So this segment really could be the American golfers segment, really.
It could be anything. Here's one from Redmond, the Brazilian footballer, Kaká. Says it all.
Kaká.
Another golfer, Duffy Waldorf. Now, that's a cracker.
Oh, that is a good one.
from Manly Manel.
Yeah, Manly Manel. Good on you. You going to send any CDs? You're usually a soft touch for CDs. Yeah, you are, but none to the SMS guys.
No, well, just let roll a bit. Early doors.
Fair enough. Ray, was that Jason Addard's first City winner? Craig?
No.
I don't think so. We've had him on the program.
Yeah, he won a Hawkesbury Gold Cup with Sons of John. I think it was his first Saturday Randwick winner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as distinct from winners in town, he's won races at Randwick before midweeks, and he's won at Canterbury, and of course, Sons of John gave him that Hawkesbury Gold Cup win at the Hawkesbury standalone last year, Jim.
Right.
But first Sydney Saturday winner at Randwick for Jason Addard yesterday.
1353-53 is the open line number. Remember, coming up, we've got our race replays. We're going to speak to Adam Hieronymus. We're also going to have a chat inside the Queensland State of Origin camp. Kevvy Walters, who's made himself available to so many media outlets. We're going to have a chat with Kevvy as well. And Benny Elias. I think Laurie Daly's made himself available to plenty of media outlets as well, but he's all talked out at the moment. Maybe starting to get ready for this big game. Just wonder when they're coming back to Sydney from Coffs Harbour. I don't know whether they do that Monday or Tuesday.
This morning, I think.
This morning?
Yeah, they're coming home this morning.
Okay, there you go. So only up there for 4 or 5 days, at Coffs Harbour. I know they...
Dino wouldn't be happy about that, would he? He loves a little trip to the Coffs Harbour. Here's one. Yes, Assange is still in the embassy. There you go, Jimmy.
Right.
London. The Bobbies are out the front. And when Peter Robel was out of racing for a while a few years ago, he was doing a Boilermakers course.
There you go.
There you go.
As read in a Sydney paper called The Daily Telegraph. You heard of The Daily Telegraph?
Obviously, I didn't write that story.
You usually write every other story in the Daily Telegraph, but you must have missed that one.
I wrote one about when he was, and you laughed at me, but driving go-karts and things like that.
Yeah, he's a driver.
Well, yeah.
He drives. Morning, boys. AFL player Nick Natanui. Is a classic name that suits the man. That's Brett from Broadbeach. Yeah, Nick Nat.
West Coast, yeah.
A superstar. The flying Fijian. 1353 53. That's the open line number. 0419 SMS BSB if you want to send us an SMS. We're having our funny names in sport. Heaven knows where it's going to take us.
Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten are set to face off in their first formal debate of the election campaign. The Prime Minister and opposition leader have had the weekend to prepare for the showdown at the National Press Club in Canberra tonight. The leaders will be grilled by three senior political journalists in the hour-long debate, which contrasts to the town hall-style People's Forum held in Western Sydney earlier this month. Police are trying to track down what they call cowardly protesters who covered their faces and went to a Melbourne rally looking to start a fight. Arthur Stevens has more.
Seven people were arrested as more than 500 rallied in heavy rain against both Islam and racism in Melbourne's northern suburb of Coburg yesterday. Police say a number of people who hid their faces are to blame for violent clashes between rival groups during the rally at Bridges Reserve. Five were arrested for riotous behaviour and assaulting and hindering police, while two more were apprehended for carrying knives and other weapons. Arthur Stevens, Melbourne.
Meanwhile, a 20-year-old man has been charged with rioting in connection with a brawl involving up to 100 people at a train station in Sydney's west last month. His detention brings the number of those arrested after the April 7 fight at Mount Druitt Station to 18. Police say they seized items including a Molotov cocktail, a knife and a golf club following the brawl, and a 54-year-old woman suffered head and neck injuries. Queensland police are calling for help from anyone who witnessed two motorbikes collide with a ute yesterday, leaving a man seriously hurt. The motorcyclists crashed into the vehicle as it was about to turn right at an intersection in the Gold Coast suburb of Upper Coomera. A man in his 20s sustained serious injuries while two women were uninjured. A 42-year-old motorcyclist has been killed in a crash with another vehicle in Perth's south. Police say the man's bike was struck by a vehicle exiting a T-junction in Medina late yesterday afternoon. The head of the Queensland Teachers Union says the Aurukun community needs to be involved in deciding the future direction of its school. Kevin Bates welcomes Education Minister Kate Jones's review into the Cape York Aboriginal Australian Academy campus, but says it's crucial ideas about improving the school and addressing unrest in the far north Queensland town came from the community and isn't imposed on them. Overseas and US regulators have launched a probe into complaints by United States Steel Corp that Chinese competitors stole secrets, fixed prices, and misrepresented the origin of their exports to the United States. US Steel is seeking to halt nearly all imports from China's largest steel producers, even as China denies wrongdoing and is opposed to the International Trade Commission's investigation. Patrice Howard reports from Los Angeles.
US Steel filed its original complaint a month ago, suggesting it was the victim of a 2011 computer hacking incident that also prompted U.S. federal cyber espionage indictments against five Chinese military officials. The steelmaker claims hackers stole data on production techniques, which therefore helped Chinese competitors to replicate products decades in the making. Regulators have not made public the merits of the case, though Chinese authorities oppose the U.S. probe and are encouraging their own firms to defend themselves. Patrice Howard, Los Angeles.
Also in news, a 43-year-old man is missing in New South Wales's Hunter Valley. The man was last seen early yesterday morning when he left the Timor Cave camping ground. This is Air News. St George Illawarra have moved back into the NRL top eight with a 14-10 win over a depleted North Queensland in Wollongong. The turning point came when Lachlan Coote, filling in at 5-8, failed to find touch in the 62nd minute, allowing St George Illawarra centre Ewan Aitken to score the winning try from the ensuing set. The Cowboys, without origin playmakers Jonathan Thurston, Michael Morgan, Matt Scott, James Tamu and Justin O'Neill, missed a chance to leapfrog Brisbane into third spot. Australia's Scott Hend will take a one-shot lead into the final round of golf's PGA Championship at Wentworth after a day when many struggled. Rupert Bell has the details.
A bizarre day which began with three players at 10 under par, including Masters champion Danny Willett and Hend. At first, Willett appeared in control, but for the second day running, a nightmare back nine saw him slip to four over par and will begin just three behind Hend. The Australian ended his run with a brilliant eagle at the par 5 18th to lead by one from Tyrrell Hatton. 9 under. The Englishman hit a best of the day 66 to be on 8 under. Also in the hunt is Lee Westwood, the former world number one but yet to win the BMW PGA, and despite playing with a twisted ankle, carded a 68 to be just two back.
Also in sport, tennis wild child Nick Kyrgios has been fined $6,200 for an audible obscenity during his straight sets French Open thrashing by ninth seed Richard Gasquet. And in AFL, wins to the Saints, Hawks, Crows, Port Power and the Tigers. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny for the Sydney area. Winds westerly to 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, turning southwesterly in the morning. A 0% chance of rain. There's the positive. The negative, a maximum of 19 degrees.
That's actually pretty good because it's absolutely freezing outside at the moment.
Yeah, it is fresh, isn't it? Now, Raymond, what about in Moorebank and Maruya?
Yeah, Moorebank for our listener, John from Moorebank. Lovely sunny day out there at Moorebank, 19 degrees today. Maruya, Jim, right now it's only 2 degrees down there, but it's going to warm up to a beautiful sunny day and 19 degrees.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Funny name, Peter Peters.
This segment's taking a life of its own
now. It's taking shape,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is. You were
That's, very from
concerned
about it. That's from RDB. That's from RDB. Did you say the umpire, Dickie Bird?
I did read it. Jack from Oldbar brought it up. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. And this one. What about Matt Hilda? Average name, great nickname. You know what his nickname is, don't you? Waltzing.
Oh, what a great nickname.
Waltzing Matilda.
Here's a couple of MLB pitchers, Jimmy and Ray. Madison Bumgarner, for the San Francisco Giants. His nickname is Mad Bum.
Right.
And veteran Bartolo Colon, which is an unfortunate name, who's currently pitching for the New York Mets. They conveniently pronounce his name as Cologne. Regards, Tom. There you go.
Of course he does.
Of course he does.
Like, seriously? Well, wouldn't you? By the way, that one from Matt Hilda was Greg from Blaney. Good on you. Hey, boys, thought I'd raise the bar. How about the Chinese high jumper, Li Ping Hai? Manly man now. This is the great issue.
Is that fair income?
Ray.
It could be fair income. It's a great name.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Thank you, Jeff.
Funny names in sport from eagle-eyed Phil. Willpower.
Oh, yeah, that's always been the one that's amused me. Yeah.
And this is from Matt, and he's 100% right. Hey, boys, Billy Birmingham came up with all the best names in sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them we can't reproduce here on the Breakfast Morning Show, Jim.
You can say, I keep my teeth and jar beside the bed.
He drives fast cars.
He drives fast cars. Rubbish binny. Left out last night by the Indian selectors. But he was collected again this morning. I mean, that's timeless. That sort of stuff. Timeless.
Brilliant.
Apparently there were races on yesterday, Ray, and you're going to replay some of them.
Get serious here.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn Scopin had a day out, Jim.
Yeah.
Three winners. Just missed a fourth. He maintains he probably should have won the last as well. But he got the day off to a winning note on Skylight Glow. She's a nice filly, Jim. Second win in a row. Only had the three starts. James Cummings thinking possibly of a Group 1 JJ Atkins in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because she was pretty tough winning the first at Randwick yesterday.
Coglier takes a clear lead now coming to the turn. A couple on Skylight Glow. Barbas back in third. Akatua trying to sustain the run on the outside of Primavera, followed by So Poised. And now Flo getting onto the back of Akatua and pulling to the outside. Coglier is the leader from Skylight Glow, who's starting to hone in on the leader quickly. And Skylight Glow joins Coglier. Clear from Barbas, Akatua. Flo still 5 lengths away. It's Skylight Glow in front. Barbas is digging in. It's Skylight Glow from Barbas, Akatua. Skylight Glow's clinging on, and Skylight Glow wins the first from Barbas and Akatua. Then came...
All right, now what's the plan for James? Because the option is take her through the grades and she can probably pick up a bit of prize money, or go to the JJ Atkins, where she's a $15 chance at present. That's at tab.com.au. Equal favourites, Sacred Elixir and Suchet at $5.
Yeah, look, I think James has got a bit of a dilemma. Does he go one more run this prep and go to the Group 1 in Brisbane, or turn her out and get her ready for the spring, because he's got no doubts that she's a high-quality filly? And haven't the James Cummings stable had a run with their two-year-olds this season? I think Prize Icon, others. Glenn Schofield's ridden most of them. Yeah, she's a really nice filly. Beat the boys yesterday, Jim. So, look, I'd be tempted to go to the Group 1, the final Group 1 for two-year-olds of the season in a couple of weeks in Brisbane on Stradbroke Day. Jimmy, can I just go back to Leaping High? I think that was so good. I want to give Manly Man our two CDs. Bruce Springsteen, American Land Edition. And just in case he doesn't like Bruce Springsteen, I'll go the alternative. Nashville Number Ones, Volume 3 from 1995 to 2015.
What kind of weirdo wouldn't like Bruce Springsteen? So, I mean, we've got him covered there.
Yep.
So, away you go. Oh, Tanya's put her hand up. Okay. Let's move on quickly to the next race replay, please, Ray.
Tanya likes Bruce Springsteen, surely.
Well, she just put her hand up, said she doesn't like Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, anyway, she doesn't, okay. Anyway. Dancing in the dark.
That's something you know not to get now as a Christmas present, don't you?
Bruce Evertools.
Yeah, although the way you work, you probably know Bruce and somehow get tickets front row.
Come on, Jim, you can't be saying those things. Are you going to the footy Wednesday night?
Yes.
Yeah, free tickets?
Yes.
There you go. Are you having a crack at me?
I'm not hiding it, though. You say, oh, don't tell anyone.
I didn't say that. I'm not going Wednesday night. I haven't got any free tickets. Although, we have got two tickets to give away later on in the show.
Were you offered tickets?
No, I wasn't.
All right.
We have got two tickets to give away later on in the show. Two, State of Origin, one on Wednesday night. So stay listening.
They weren't tickets offered to you initially, and you said, oh, I'll give them away as a prize because I've got something on.
No, I managed to obtain them from friends of ours, and they've been good enough to supply two tickets to Save Origin, one for lucky listener later on in the show. We'll get to that, Jimmy. Race 4, the At Sea Handicap. I think this is a stakes race in Wayne, this sprint race on Mackell Cup Day. Good race yesterday. That's a good idea. Holds the Randwick track record, Jimmy, at 1,200 metres set 3 years ago. He's still racing in great form. He was terrific yesterday. Another great win.
Poet with its head in front from That's a Good Idea. Harara's three deep in third. Prince Famous the fence. Wally just behind them has come off the bridle. I am the lady to the outside. Ins and out back to the rails. And Wouldn't It Be Nice is the last one. Up the rise. Oxford Poet. That's a Good Idea. Ins and out on the fences. Closing off. I am the lady to the outside. And now Wally is starting to pick up. That's a Good Idea. Oxford Poet. Ins and out. Great three-way battle. That's a Good Idea. Oxford Poet. Ins and out the fence. Nose and nose they go. Oxford Poet comes back at That's a Good Idea. They're the two in the photo. That's a Good Idea, the outside of Oxford Poet, and they've just held off Ins and out. Then Wally.
So a blanket finish there. That's a Good Idea. Ended up winning for Peter and Paul Snowden. Ty Anglin on board and ended up paying $13 as well, Roman. Now, what next? Well, that's a Good Idea.
Look, there's a race called the Healy Stakes at the back end of the Brisbane Carnival later next month that Peter Snowden mentioned, and probably a good target for him. Next week is the QTC Sprint. I don't think they'll back up into that race in Brisbane next week. There is a June Stakes coming up here at Randwick in 2 weeks' time. He carried 62 kilos yesterday, Jim. That's a lot of weight. You don't see many horses in Sydney Saturday grade these days carry so much weight and win like he did. So a really good effort. Jim, the Mackell Cup, before the race, everyone thought Raw Impulse was almost a reincarnation of Farlap.
The boom, market thought that, yeah.
The boom he came out of Melbourne was extraordinary. Most of us thought Ecuador couldn't run 2,400 metres. How wrong we all were.
Coming to the turn, Ecuador in front from Iggy Pop, Reeby the Red, Beyond Thankful, Settle the Future, Hawkspur, and Roar Impulse, the short favourite, pulling to the outside, winding up. Havana Coolers looking for middle splits. Ecuador leads up the rise from Iggy Pop, then Roar Impulse. Further back, Havana Cooler making ground. Ecuador's full of running from Iggy Pop, then Roar Impulse and Havana Cooler. Ecuador in front from Iggy Pop, then Roar Impulse. Ecuador showing no signs of stopping, and Ecuador will lead all the way in the Mackell Cup from Iggy Pop and Havana Cooler. Roar Impulse battle on in fourth.
Brisbane Cup, here we come, quote unquote, Gay Waterhouse, the trainer. So no market up for that. But based on that performance, Ray, Very strong in the market, yeah.
He set a couple of records himself yesterday, Ecuador. Jim, the first horse to win the Lord Mayor's Cup, Mikel Cup double.
Wow.
And the 59.5 he carried for a suspect stayer. Fantastic effort because he's equaled the weight-carrying record for the race, which was set by Praise Indeed in 1999 of 59.5. 54-year history of the Mikel Cup. No horse has carried more than that, so... Whichever way you look at it, a really good win by Ecuador.
And a good front-running effort from Adam Hieronymus too. We're going to speak to Adam a little bit later on in the program as well.
He knows that horse well. Bull Rush, we mentioned him earlier, Jim.
Yeah.
This horse is a star in the making. Controversial finish, but no controversy about Bull Rush. He's 5 from 5 now.
Round the turn, it's Bull Rush in front of Cape Crusader. Roguish third, will hardly ever just behind them, and that Invincible. Bull Rush being cuddled in the lead. He's a length clear from Cape Crusader, will hardly ever. The outside Invincible, and Disgraceful with a big run on the outside. Bull Rush in front from Roguish. Here's Disgraceful, Invincible. Disgraceful, the outside, going to Bull Rush, who won't sit down. Roguish kicks, so does Bull Rush. Bull Rush, I'd say Bull Rush has just won from Roguish, Disgraceful and Invincible. Great tussle in the last.
Well, that was all over the shop. Ray Murray, he very busy.
Last.
In his last race. But Bull Rush, very bullish about this horse coming out of the Hawke stable.
Yeah, look, and we'll hopefully get Michael Hawkes a little bit later. And to be fair, Michael said the horse is still learning. I got the impression, Jim, that if you watch replays of all his wins so far, it's almost like he waits for the other horses to come at him and then he lifts again. So
yeah, right.
He's got this ability to really rise to the challenge. So he's going to go a long way, Bull Rush. But if you're back Disgraceful and Invincible, you could certainly felt you were hard done by because... they were poleaxed by a wayward Roguish late in the race. That's taking nothing away from the win of Bull Rush. Big meeting again at Doomben. The Brisbane Carnival really hotting up now. And we spoke earlier about James Cummings and his 2-year-olds. What about Peter and Paul Snowden and their 2-year-olds this season, Jim? They've won everything. Mm. Magic Means, Golden Slippers with Capitalists. This horse, Attention, really good yesterday. Took out the BRC size produced stakes for the Snowden team.
350 metres left to go, and quickly Attention moves up on the outside of Dreams of Plenty. Nikitas about a length and a half away. Sushar on the outside, then Meet and Greet. Attention narrowly. Dreams of Plenty won't go away. Nikitas, Sushar on the outside. It's Attention narrowly. Sushar down the outside. Dreams of Plenty on the rail. Attention just in front of Dreams of Plenty, and Attention's won the size by a neck on the line to Dreams of Plenty. Fido third. Nikitas up there. Ken.
Just to give you an update, one all for full time in this Champions League final, so they'll be playing extra time now. That's Real Madrid against Atletico. So Attention for Peter and Paul Snowden. Blake Shin on board, obviously, to the JJ Atkins.
In 2 weeks, yep. Mm-hmm.
Third favourite, second in on $7 with those two favourites, Sacred Elixir and Suchet. And so, yeah, Attention, a $7 chance there.
And a couple of those horses out of that race would be much better suited getting to Eagle Farm, particularly a horse like Suchet. But Attention...
Why is that? Because I've heard that a lot about these Brisbane tracks. They said, oh, it's an Eagle Farm horse.
Yeah, Doomben's tight.
Right.
The straight's not as wide or as long as Eagle Farm. Mm. So Eagle Farm's a much bigger track. It's a bit like going... Not quite as big, different as Canterbury to Randwick, but that's sort of a theme. Canterbury's a tight turning track. You get to Randwick, it suits other horses who like the big open spaces, and particularly horses from out back can run on.
But this is the thing that gets me. So I understand the longer straight. I get that bit. But they say, oh, it's a tighter track. But they race tight anyway. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah. But tempo often dictates whether backmarkers can win or not on those tight tracks. And if they don't go hard, the leaders are definitely favoured on a tighter track because they're up front, out of trouble, they sprint home and they can win. On a bigger track, backmarkers get more of a chance provided there's a decent enough tempo in front. So I can see your eyes rolling everywhere, Jim.
But I'm just saying, when was the last time you saw a horse flash down on the outside fence because it needed so much room?
Mm.
Like, you know, they race so closely.
You know, good point. Yeah.
Oh, they need more track. I mean, they need more space. It'll be good at Eagle Farm because it's got more space, but they race so tightly anyway.
You get big horses too, like big, strong horses who need more room, that sort of thing. So in tight tracks, they're held up behind. Like, you're not convinced, though.
You haven't sold me on that
okay.
one. You haven't sold
Can
me
Can I
on
move
that.
On then? Cause I'm,
we better.
I'm confusing myself, I reckon.
What about the 10,000? You know why it's called the 10,000, Ray?
Because it was called the 10,000 way back when it was made a 10,000. It used to be called the Ahern Memorial, and they upped the prize to £10,000.
What year?
I can't remember exactly when. Back in the 40s, early 50s.
Okay, 10,000
They did change it and became a Rothmans 100,000 in the mid-70s, etc., but that old name stuck in people's heads and they went back to it.
So are you allowed to stay Rothmans on this program? No, probably not. Anyway, let's go to the Doomben 10,000.
Your eyes rolled again. Hey, Bjorn Baker, the one box he hadn't ticked, he did it yesterday. His first Group 1 with Music Magnate, ridden brilliantly by Kieran McAvoy.
Bound 350 metres left to go, and Fell Swoop has taken a slender lead from Hooked on the outside, Music Magnate, and here's Azcadelia down the outside, Fell Swoop, Music Magnate, Dothraki coming through, Azcadelia down the outside, Music Magnate's taken the lead with 100 metres left to go, Music Magnate's in front, and Music Magnate wins the Doomben 10,000, Music Magnate from a photo, Azcadelia out wide, Charlie Boy flashlight the inside, Delectation fourth in, Fell Swoop tied, likewise.
Mate, I understand. The conversation went off air as well, mate, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't understand that. Anyway, Music Magnate for Bjorn Baker, as you mentioned, Kieran Mack. What was going on up front, Ray?
Well, we mentioned it earlier.
Brett from Broadbeach.
Everyone had the speed map down as a soft lead for Two Blue.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, because firstly, Fell Swoop got on heels and started over racing, Cannon into Hooked. Got him over racing. They went a million miles an hour in front. Kieran McAvoy, well, successive Group 1s. He won on our Ivanhoe last week in the Doomben Cup.
Mm.
He just patiently waited and timed his run perfectly and got the Group 1 for Bjorn Baker.
We're just looking at a front on of a race. Where is that being?
Kembla Grange.
That's Kembla, right?
Big long straight at Kembla Grange.
Yeah, big long straight. But they had the front on shot. There were seven horses in that race. They had that much space between themselves. And would you describe Kembla Grange as a tight track?
No, it's got a good long straight. And
yeah, that's a long straight. Mm. That doesn't mean it's a tight track.
Yeah. Jimmy, I don't know how to explain it to you. I try to explain it to you, but you're always right in the back of your head.
No, you just sometimes you've got to write it out. You might have to draw a picture for me. Anyway,
we're both confused now.
Yeah. Look, I tell you what we'll do. We'll go to a break. We'll try and sort it out.
Argue in the ad break as well. Off air.
We might even ask Adam Hieronymus because he's coming up after the break.
Simon Harrison here.
Radio and racing are in my blood.
That's why I get so much pleasure in bringing you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage here on Sky Sports Radio. We always strive to provide our listeners with the very best, including interviews with the trainers and jockeys and our very successful market movers.
Simon Harrison, part of our team of winners, bringing you the best in racing every day during the National Racing Service here on Sky Sports Radio. You can like your milk fat-free, your bread gluten-free, your drinks sugar-free, or your life care-free. It's a free country after all, and the best things in life are free. At Hyundai, this end of financial year, get free CTP, stamp duty, and 12 months free rego with a 7-seat Santa Fe SUV. Not to mention 5 years free scheduled servicing. Our Seize the Deal sale won't last, so seize these incredible free offers at your local Hyundai dealer.
Lionel, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
Two.
At PNV, we're having an end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's three. Okay, maybe two.
You'll find some great deals right now at PNV.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
So how would you describe Hawkesbury then?
Hawkesbury's a tighter track.
Look, I'm joking.
Let's go to one of the experts, a man who rides on tracks for a living and did a great job yesterday on Ecuador to win the Mackell Cup. Adam Hieronymus has been good enough to join us bright and early. Adam, good morning. Congratulations on Ecuador yesterday.
Cheers, Ray. Good morning, guys.
Well, first up, Adam, you might not have heard us. We're having this discussion. Jim, I'm trying to explain to Jimmy how some horses appreciate bigger tracks and more open spaces and a tight turning track. And we use the analogy of going from Doomben to Eagle Farm, like Canterbury to Randwick. As a jockey, Jim, Adam, can you just tell us why some horses prefer bigger tracks?
Obviously, each horse has got a different stride, some bigger than others. Horses come in all different sizes, obviously, and some horses are very well balanced and can get around those tighter tracks very well, and other horses are big and sort of need the room and need the time to build up and pick their momentum up and find the line.
Adam, that's magnificent.
Jim, you've done it perfectly. Now I understand.
Thank you.
Well, Adam,
I couldn't explain it, Adam. You did it much better than I did.
On the same theme then, Adam, what sort of horse is Ecuador?
He's won very dominant. His last two starts at bigger tracks, Rose Hill and Randwick. So I think he's pretty versatile, to be honest.
Gee, he ticked the big box yesterday, didn't he, Adam? Because everyone thought he would struggle at 2,400. I know you were pretty confident he'd run it, so was Gay, and he didn't just run it, he dominated that race.
Yeah, that's for sure. Obviously, he's never been tested over that sort of distance, but like I said, he sort of, full credit goes to him, he dominated, he met him up, and done all the bullet he worked with the top weight and broke the race record. Fantastic job.
What gave you that confidence, Adam, that the distance wouldn't be a problem?
From his win last start.
Yeah.
I felt that last start that I didn't go easy on him through the run. I thought that he rolled along at a nice tempo. And as I said, the race through the week, to be able to sprint off that tempo, that gave me every indication that he was up 2,400, no worries.
Mm. Yeah, he powered for the line at Rose Hill, didn't he, Adam? And he did it again yesterday, and now Gay's talking Brisbane Cup with some real confidence. Can you keep the ride when the horse goes interstate in 2 weeks?
Yeah, as far as I know, I've already been booked.
Terrific, yeah.
Ride. I spoke to my manager last night, and he gave me the indication that I'd be going to ride him. So,
great.
Very happy about that. He's going to be a live chance.
Well, he's in such great form. Yeah, he's in such great form, isn't he, Adam? And we tend to forget this is a horse that ran second to Winx in an Epsom handicap last spring. So he's a top-class racehorse in his own right when he's in form.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of people forget that, but he has got good form. He has shown that he can race with top-line horses. Because he's hit a bit of a flat spot, they've dropped off him pretty quick, and to do what he'd done yesterday with probably 59.5 and be so dominant, it's a very good win.
Blinkers off. How important has that been, Adam?
I don't know, to be honest, because I haven't ridden him with the blinkers on.
Right.
But obviously, it's made a big difference. You can clearly see with his racing, the way he seems to be enjoying his racing a lot more. So it's obviously worked. But to what degree, I can't really put my finger on that because I haven't ridden with blinkers on.
Yeah, right. Adam, tell us about the Hippie Club.
Yeah. Well, the Hippo Club. Yeah.
Hippo Club?
Hippo Clan, yeah.
Hippo Clan.
Yeah. No, that's just my cousin and a few of his mates that live around here, around the eastern suburbs. It all started with Cape Crusader. They come to the race. And I only had the one ride, the last race, and he ended up winning, I think, with about 10 of them. He came for the day out, and then gave back him up again the week later, and they told all their friends how good a day they had, and the horse won, and, you know, they were all excited. So the next week when Kate Fish Dana strutted out again, I think it was about 25 of them, a lot of them first time to the races.
And, oh, right.
Yeah, most of them hadn't been to the races until they come to watch Cape Crusader, and he ended up winning, and then now they've all signed up as members of the ATC, and they love their racing now, so it's been good.
You should be on a commission, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's about 15 or 20 of them there yesterday. I reckon they made more noise than the other 6,000 put together when you won on Ecuador.
Yeah, no, they love it. They love heckling the jockeys and everything else, and they love shouting out when
it's good atmosphere.
It's good. I think it's good for the racing as well, because it brings a little bit of an atmosphere. Like you said, it was a cold, wintry day, and they're the only ones out there cheering, and then everyone else sort of looks around thinking, oh, you know. So then they tend to want to get involved as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A mate of mine always says, if you're having fun in a pub, it'll attract people to you. That's a
very good point.
You look like you're having fun. So that's what the Hippo Clan are working on. Adam, congratulations on yesterday. Great win, great ride, and good luck for that Brisbane Cup.
All right, cheers. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Adam Hieronymus there, a winner on Ecuador for Gay Waterhouse yesterday. $9.50 was the win. So, Jimmy, ask Rafe, he knows the German goalkeeper, Hans Onzebor. Jeez, Manly Manel. Manly Manel's having some fun this morning.
Leaping high.
Exactly. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's go to Manny. Hello, Manny.
G'day, Jimmy. Ray, how are you?
Hey, really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Well, I've got a name for a horse. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Waikikamukau.
Oh, yeah, that was a good horse.
That was a good one.
It was a good horse, actually.
He went placings in a couple of derbies too, didn't he, Manny?
Got a couple of group ones, I think, too.
He was a good horse.
I first started backing it because of the name, but it looked up its form, and its form wasn't bad then. But then it started coming down in the odds because a lot of people would back it just because of its name.
That's right, they did too.
Yeah, short of price all the time.
That's a good one, yeah.
Nice one, Manny. Good nomination. Okay. Appreciate that. 1353.
Deep Purple CD for Manny.
Fair dinkum. Yeah. You're the softest touch ever.
Deep Purple CD coming out Manny's way for Waikikamukau.
Good one. 1353. The Brown Hornet says Peter Cushion. Not much in that, really, but he said, imagine if he married Whoopi Goldberg. Love the show.
That's not bad, Brown Hornet.
We got a CD for the Hornet?
That's a good one. What about Bob Dylan? Fallen Angels. You're a Bob Dylan fan, aren't you, Jim?
Looking forward to speaking to Bjorn Baker after the news as well. We're going to speak to Michael Hawkes, Andy Pascaletti from the World of Football.
That's a no, is it?
Yeah. It's still 1-1. We're into the 103rd minute now of that Champions League final, Real Madrid up against Atletico. All that coming up after the news. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. It's the weekend edition.
Coverage of women's sport will receive a boost if federal Labor wins the election. The ABC axed its broadcasts of women's soccer and basketball to save cash after the Abbott government hit it with a $254 million budget cut in 2014. Bill Shorten will pledge $21 million over 4 years to the national broadcaster to increase its coverage of women's sport by 500 live hours across television and digital platforms. The opposition leader says the move will give women athletes the acknowledgement they deserve. New South Wales Premier Mike Baird's controversial council amalgamations program, light rail development, night spot lockouts and laws under which people can be detained for up to a fortnight without charge will be the focus of a protest march. Those participating in the march against Mike will rally at Sydney Town Hall today before marching to New South Wales Parliament. Greens MP David Shoebridge is due to speak about what his party has described as the terrifying new civil liberty laws and the increased power of the New South Wales Police Force. Queensland police are calling for help from anyone who witnessed two motorbikes collide with a ute yesterday, leaving a man seriously hurt. The motorcyclists crashed into the vehicle as it was about to turn right at an intersection in the Gold Coast suburb of Upper Coomera. A man in his 20s sustained serious injuries. Two women were uninjured. A man has been arrested after 16.5 kilograms of cannabis was found in his car in the New South Wales Riverina. The man was pulled over on the Sturt Highway at Hay for a random breath test, and a quick search of the car came up with the haul. The driver, a 43-year-old man, was charged and will appear in Deniliquin local court today. The World Health Organization says there's no public health justification for moving or postponing the Olympics due to the spread of the Zika virus in Brazil. Responding to a call from more than 100 leading scientists who said it would be unethical for the Games to go ahead as scheduled, Nika Alexander from the UN Health Agency says having the Games in Rio as planned would not significantly alter the spread of Zika, which is linked to cause serious birth defects.
It doesn't look like stopping large groups of people from meeting in one place or stopping travel would stop Zika. Zika is spread primarily through mosquitoes.
South Korea's president has arrived in Uganda for a three-day state visit and will meet with Uganda's president for bilateral talks. Leon Senyange reports.
President Park's meeting with her host Uganda's president Yoweri Museveni is due Sunday morning. Uganda and South Korea have long-standing relations established more than 50 years ago. But this is the first visit of a South Korean president to Uganda. Uganda is widely seen as a strong Western ally, especially in fighting extremism. These experts say places President Yoweri Museveni as a strategic partner for South Korea, another Western ally. President Park's Africa tour started in Ethiopia, where she became the first South Korean leader to address the African Union. Leon Senyange, Kampala.
Also in news, thousands of civilians and hundreds of aid workers are in danger in northern Syria after an advance by the jihadist group Islamic State. The entire area of Azaz near the Turkish border is now unsafe and civilians need a humanitarian corridor to get to safety. The jihadists stormed the defences of Maria, the main town in the southern part of the enclave, on Saturday after cutting it off from Azaz the previous day. This is Air News. Richmond's AFL season continues to gain momentum with the Tigers beating Essendon by 38 points in their Dreamtime at the G Clash for their third win in a row, 16-9-105 to 10-7-67. Meanwhile, Charlie Dixon has kicked 5 goals to help Port Adelaide claim a 45-point win over Melbourne in Alice Springs. Jordan Lewis has celebrated his 250th game in style, leading Hawthorn to a commanding 48-point assault over Brisbane. Fremantle's winless start to the season has continued, going down to St Kilda by 34, and captain Taylor Walker and Eddie Betts both kicked 5 goals as Adelaide ended Greater Western Sydney's club record unbeaten streak with a 22-point victory. Australian Scott Hend will take a one-shot lead into the final round of the PGA Championship at Wentworth. Hend is on 9 under par after a third round 73, which included a spectacular eagle at the 18th hole to take the lead. Hend, who won earlier in the year in Thailand, has yet to win in Europe.
I haven't quite got my swing where I want it to be. I'm not quite getting the ball out of the centre of the club all the time. And the way they tuck the pins away here, if you're not quite striking the ball sweetly, it's pretty hard to get at the pins. If you miss your shot, you get in those bunkers and you're in a lot of trouble.
The Crusaders have moved back to the top of Super Rugby, overcoming some valiant defence by the Blues to prevail 26-21 in Auckland, while the Brumbies will head into the June international break on top of the Australian Conference after scoring an important 66-5 bonus point win over the Sunwolves in Canberra. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, lovely sunny day coming up. Light winds westerly 15 to 25 k's, tending southwesterly later in the morning. 0% chance of rainfall. Sydney's heading for a top temperature today of 19 degrees. Jimmy, what about at Campbelltown and out at Coonabarabran?
Campbelltown, the scramble town, 19 degrees as a maximum there. And Coonabarabran, mostly sunny, 14 degrees.
Coolish.
Nice and cool.
Lano, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
2.
At King V, we're having an end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's 3. Okay, maybe 2.
You'll find some great deals right now at King V.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Whether you're attending a demonstration or a demolition derby, discussing demographics, or about to make a demo tape of your best demo songs for a guy called Demo, I mean Damo, who's about to be demoted, the best deals are on our demo models this end of financial year, like the demonstrated Tucson SUV from just $27,990 drive away. Our Seize the Deal sale won't last, so seize this amazing demo deal today at your local Hyundai dealer.
To go back to back.
It's going to be the magnificent Mark Marquez. It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
First, he gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
And welcome back to the second hour of the show with Jimmy and Ray. Big second hour coming up, or as Jimmy would say, massive second hour.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hawks, Bjorn Baker coming up. Shorty, Andy Pascalis talk about the world of football in that Champions League game. Real Madrid 1, Atletico Madrid 1 in the 106th minute now, Jimmy.
Mm.
So getting down the wire here.
Shot off goal.
ZNZ watch quiz coming up. Zorba with his league chat. All about Origin, no doubt. And Tanya with the scratchings at the top of the hour. Jimmy, what did you make of that situation with Ecuador? Adam Hieronymus, I thought, explained why some horses need bigger tracks and are better suited on bigger tracks. He explained it much better than I did anyway.
Totally understandable, you know, with the horse and the running style and the way it wants to run. And then we get this too. Jimmy, just go back and watch the Stradbroke replays and see how the back markers make up lots of ground. If you go to the outside and make your run at the 400-metre mark at Eagle Farm, you'll be in the home straight, but at Doomben, you'll still be going around the final bend and therefore covering extra ground, like being in a wide lane on an athletics track. Totally understand that. That's from Eagle-Eyed Phil.
Eagle-eyed Phil, outstanding. What about Ultimate America? Four CDs of the greatest music from the US of A coming Eagle-eyed Phil's way.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
Okay.
No problem with that. Well done.
You did a much better job than me explaining.
I didn't want to say that, Ray. I think Tudor Armov by De Beers out of Sunday Morning was one of the best names horses in history. No name on that.
It's very, very good. I'll tell you what, though. Mm. Music Magnate will almost sound like the best named horse in history to this man, Bjorn Baker. Gave him his first Group 1 win yesterday as a trainer in the Doombin 10,000. Bjorn's been good enough to join us this morning. Bjorn, good morning. Congratulations. And, well, that monkey's finally off your back.
Yeah, it is. Morning, Jimmy, too. How are you?
G'day, Bjorn. I'll tell you what, Bjorn, you were $11 winner with Music Magnate yesterday. You were double that price to turn up on this show this morning, so well done.
Yeah, I got there, yeah. You should have taken me pre-post. I've been very well behaved.
Oh, it's capped off a great season for you, Bjorn, and the Group 1 had to come eventually. You've been thereabouts, and the way the race was set up yesterday, Karen patiently rode Music Magnate, let the leaders go at that, you know, ridiculously fast pace, and the rest is history now.
Yeah, no, he got a lovely run, Karen, and it just worked out brilliantly from the start to the finish. He even got a check out of it, I think, about 200 metres after the post, which I think helped him, helped him get into a good spot. So, of course, Snake taking nothing away from the ride. It was a super ride, and great. It's been a great season, and I'm lucky I've got a good team around me, and it's all worked out well. Now, I've won a couple, four Group 1s in partnership with my father. Now, the big difference is now I get to keep the money myself.
Didn't you tell me once, you owe some money to your dad, or Murray thinks you owe him some money? He might come ringing first thing this morning.
He wants his three saddles back. I'm not going to give him. He's going to have to. He'll be waiting for them a long time.
Plenty of missed calls from Murray Baker this morning. The funny thing about this horse, or it's not the funny thing, it didn't really show anything as a two-year-old, though, Bjorn, and you had to be patient with it, and you were prepared to do it, which is key as well.
Yeah, I didn't have any horses at that time, Jimmy, so I didn't stack them. So I had to keep them in the system for a bit longer.
But you had faith in the sire as well, though.
Yeah, I've always liked Ridden Tycoon, and now I can't afford them, but he's really had a breakout season for him. He's flying, and I actually sold a Ridden Tycoon early to Hong Kong when I first arrived that helped everything along, and Music Magnate, that's probably the reason why I bought him, because he looked a lot like the guy that we sold to Hong Kong. So he's worked out being a really good horse, and everything's worked out well.
Bjorn, I know trainers don't really have the time to sort of sit back and appreciate these sort of major milestones in your career, but has it sunk in? Do you get a chance to, on the plane back last night, to reflect on that breakthrough Group 1?
Not too much, but it's great. It's a time-honoured race, the Doombin 10,000. Growing up in New Zealand, you always watch it, and it's really the middle of winter. There's been a lot of great Kiwi horses that have competed in it. It's pretty special, and as you say, it takes a monkey off the back, that's for sure.
It's not only the fact that you won, Bjorn. I think it's the fact that, you know, as we said, you had to be patient with the horse. You had to map out a program for the horse. It then became the Winter Carnival that you set your sights on, and then the horse is executed. So that, you know, how satisfying is that? That it, you know, it wasn't a lucky Group 1 win. It was one that you'd actually planned for.
Yeah, it's... I thought he was well set up for Saturday and for yesterday, because he went to Scone. I thought he was the fittest horse in the race, and really that helped a lot, because it was run at such a fast pace. But it's really worked out well, and I'm lucky I've got a really good team. And I didn't think, one bloke that's been riding him in all his work is Lenny Beasley. Lenny's been the biggest fan of the source for a long time, but it's pretty special. You have a guy like Lenny on, who's won, I think, 20-odd Group 1s and won a couple of slippers, and he rides him in all his work, and he's been a big fan of the horse for a long time.
Well, he knows that Group 1 horse, doesn't he, Bjorn? Stradbroke Handicap next for Music Magnate?
Yeah, what did I say yesterday? What's it worth, Greg? And I think he said $1.5 million. I said, oh, when we get to that level, it doesn't matter. So, definitely look to go there, and we'll see how he recovers and comes through the race. But that's the plan.
Presented the trophy by Jimmy Cassidy yesterday. You New Zealanders are taking over, right?
Oh, come Wednesday night, man. I'm going to the league, and I'll be wearing a blue jumper.
Is that right? He's converted. Well done, mate.
Some of these state of origin apparel, because on the inside you can have Queensland. I'll be able to just switch around.
I was going to say, the big test comes not when New South Wales plays Queensland, but when the Wallabies play the All Blacks. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, congratulations on yesterday. The season's been phenomenal, and this caps it off with the first Group 1 in your own right, Bjorn. Always good to the program. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bjorn.
Bjorn Baker is a Group 1 winning trainer. We can say that after Music Magnate was the winner yesterday of the Doomben 10,000. Now, Azcadelia is still the $4.60 favourite for the Stratty. Music Magnate, bit of value around that, $9.
There you go. Just we're going to a quick ad break in a second. Hi, lads. Fooey Fooey Moi Moi is my all-time favourite sports name, and the current Collingwood player, Steel Sidebottom, deserves a mention. Cheers for Mark. Mark, Ultimate America, 4 CDs of the great music from the US of A coming your way.
Give us an EJ One song on there that really stands out for you, Ray.
Okay, right at the top there, Simon and Garfunkel, America.
Right. Okay.
You always raise your game at Origin time, so what's your secret?
Mate, you just got to tackle everything head on.
New South Wales and Queensland resume hostilities shortly, and here at TAB, our awesome Origin offers have never been better. Visit us now and check out the dozens of markets and great offers we have open on all games of the 2016 Origin Series. When it comes to Origin, you need to take your chances. So get on now, in-store, on your mobile, or at tab.com.au.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Don't know why I've been handed this. In fact, I've got to hand it over to Ray.
This is live radio. It's absolute best, Jimmy.
Sorry, I just looked at that live room and I recognise that you are our Penrith Mazda ambassador.
I am, and Penrith Mazda is having an early end of financial year stock clearance. So if you're in the market for a new Mazda, Penrith Mazda has the best selection and best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50s, which Jimmy loves.
Love them.
We all know the BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque, more comfort. So come and see the Mazda specialists for a great end of financial year deal. Don't miss out on Penrith Mazda's end of financial year clearance sale now on. See the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith today.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
That was live radio at its best, Jim, wasn't it?
It was riveting for
seamless.
The 3 seconds that we were leaning over to pass that to each other.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, a team that is having just a fantastic run at the moment, and they produced a really nice horse yesterday in Bull Rush, is Team Hawks, and Michael Hawks has been good enough to join us. Michael, good morning, and this horse is a horse on the rise, Bull Rush.
Morning, boys. He's a really nice horse going forward, Ray. We've always thought a little bit of him, and obviously, we've taken baby steps, I suppose, if you want to call it, and haven't rushed him, just done everything right and just let him develop, and he's got a long way to go yet, but he's certainly a nice horse in the making.
What about the wide gate too, Michael? It might have presented a few problems, but seemed to handle it okay.
Yeah, Jimmy, look, that was a little bit of a concern, but obviously going to 1,400, had it been 12, it probably would have been a major concern, but, you know, first time at 14... We were worried about it, but it wasn't overly analysed, I suppose, because, you know, he's an on-speed runner. I said to Kobe yesterday, look, you don't have to lead. He can be, you know, sitting off the speed. I think he's going to be a better horse off the speed.
Right.
Than sort of in front, because as he showed yesterday, he's still learning. He just wanted to run out a little bit, obviously at about 200 metre mark there when he gave him a cut with a stick in the right hand. He just wanted to shift a bit left, and to his credit, when those horses came at him, he actually was in for the fight. And look, you know, as I said pre-race on an interview, you know, he's a fighter, he's a winner, he's had four from four. So The barrier sort of really didn't worry us to a degree, even though you like to draw good barriers, but he's such a big horse and he's a big striding horse. So look, it probably worked in his favour, to be fair.
Michael, he's an interesting horse because, as you said, he seems to rise to the challenge. Does he sort of wait for other horses sometimes? Is that an inexperience? Because, again, yesterday they came at him and that's when he really knuckled down and did his best.
Yeah, look, it's all experience, right?
Yeah.
So he's only had five starts, but, yeah, he's had five wins, but he's just kept knuckling each time and taking that class rise. And yesterday's race was another massive effort because it was a huge run. You know, you draw wide, you're on speed, you're having to do a bit of work, and you know you're in a position that you're sort of three quarters in front of the other horse on the fence and
couldn't quite cross him.
Kobe done a great job and just held him together. And the last thing I sort of said was just whatever you do, doesn't matter where you are. Please don't go to down the rise. If you don't go to down the rise, then you're halfway home. And look, he rode him perfect. He just done everything right. But look, he is still an experience. He is still learning. That's why I think he'd be better horse off the speed where he can chase. And he's got something to chase. And we haven't really seen that yet in all his starts. So, you know, going forward, he is exciting. So, you know, hopefully in time, we may get to see him just ridden off the speed, and he may even get a bit further as well.
Isn't that good from an attitude point of view, though, Michael? That
Absolutely,
the biggest thing for him is actually winning. Doesn't matter what times he runs and all that sort of thing.
Look, without a doubt, you know, and it gets back to a couple of things, you know, patience and you know owners and you know gelding with his attitude as well. And honestly, if he was a colt, he was early days. He was a handful. He was very much a handful and well bred and. You know, Waikato are just fantastic. They said, listen, we want to have fun. We want to race the horse. And I know their staff at home are in the horse and, you know, they jump and scream every time he goes round. And, you know, why not? He's had five from five. So his attitude is unbelievable. He's actually a gentle giant. He's a magnificent looking horse. But to be fair, he's not there yet. You know, you'll probably see him in the spring in something maybe decent, but I think you'll see the best of him in the autumn again. But his attitude is second to none, and that's what's getting him there, and that's why he's got that fight to win. He's a winner. That's what he is.
He's almost too good for winter racing, Michael, but I guess you need to give this horse some experience, don't you? So do you keep him going much longer into the winter?
Well, we've sort of... Look, when he first started, right, you know, he went to gold, when we put him in a class one, not a maiden, and he won that. And as I said, we've always had an opinion of him, and we probably could have rushed him to get to somewhere. He could probably be in Brisbane now racing in decent races, but we elected to go through the grades. That's what we tried to do. One, from a point of view, from experience, but two, to hopefully pick up some prize money on the way. And, you know, it's quite easily you can quite easily jump grades and miss everything and, you know, get there too quick. And to be fair, this day and age, with the way the rating system is, sometimes it doesn't allow you to do that. And with this horse, it has, and we've placed him properly, and we've just tried to get the experience on the other hand. So it's sort of, you know, one thing's rolled into another. But look, he's pulled up all right this morning. Whether we go again is debatable. We might put him away and sort of get him ready for a light spring and then hopefully back for a serious autumn. So, now, these are things that you've got to take into consideration, but we haven't rushed him so far, and we don't really intend to do it. You know, and I spoke to Mark from Waikato last night. He said, mate, fantastic. They're so happy with what we've done. And he said, listen, I'm not telling you what to do. You do what you want to do, and we're just happy we're going along for the ride. So with that said, you know, we may look after him and put him away.
Michael, this might be the case from every race, but I think there was a couple of jockeys coming out of this one that both thought they should have won or could have won. Do you realise there was that perhaps element of luck associated with it?
Oh, Jimmy, look, there was probably a bit of luck, but let me tell you, he done it from barrier to box. You know, he had wide gate. He's had to go to the front, sit in a position where you don't normally sit. He's had to do all the donkey work. You know, and he still fought him off like a caged tiger. So
there might be some
hard luck stories, and I haven't really watched the replay, to be fair, enough times to have a look at it. But, you know, I can only see a winner out of that race, and that's our bloke because he's a racehorse.
Yeah, fair enough.
And just quickly, Michael, Kaepernick next week, GTC Cup?
Yeah, right, he's up in Queensland. I'm actually up here at the moment. I flew up last night, so he's up here, and he's running in the QTC Cup and all going well. it's an absolute magnificent day here, no cloud in the sky. So hopefully it stays like this all week, and he'll definitely run the QTC Cup, providing the ground is good. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully he's winning there, and we may back him up in a sneaky little race called the Stradbroke.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is it warmer weather up there, Michael? Because it's freezing down here.
Honestly, I had a scarf on, I had a jumper on, just when I got here, I was sweating. So let me tell you, if you actually saw it up here, you'd be amazed. But it's really good up here at the moment. It's freezing at home.
You're making us all jealous, Michael. Anyway, well done yesterday. And look, lots of horses from the Hawks Yard are flying at the moment. Good luck for the weeks ahead.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Thanks,
Michael Hawks there, a winner yesterday with Bull Rush. And, despite all the, Avdullah and Schofield thought they could have been on winners, he makes a good point, Michael, doesn't he?
Did it all. Wide run, et cetera, and great effort.
Yeah, good performance too. $6 that was paying yesterday. Bull Rush, 13.53.53. That's the open line number. Still 1-1 in that Champions League final. There was an Atletico player on the ground, and he was just tapping the referee on the leg. Like, it just... I thought, you can't put your hands on the referee. Apparently you can. Champions League final. So they're going to penalties. Always fascinating when they go to penalties in big matches from a football point of view. We'll keep you updated with that as well. 13.53.53, the open line number. Let's go to Jack. G'day, Jack.
G'day, Jimmy and Ray.
Morning, Jack.
Love your talk back show, mate. Never miss it.
Good on you, Jack. Thank you.
Funny names in sport.
Yeah.
There's an Asian guy playing the golf circuit. And I'm not quite sure about it, but I think they pronounce it Arby Barnrat.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
I haven't.
Arby Barnrat.
We'll check into it, Jack.
Yeah, we'll check into it.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd chuck that one in.
Mate, that's a good nomination.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good nomination. Where are you at, Jack?
I'm in Canamble.
Canamble.
Okay.
Good part. Is it cold at Canamble? Seems to be cold in everywhere.
Oh, Jesus. We've suffered the last couple of days. Yeah. No, it's been pretty good winter. Well, winter isn't here yet, but...
I think it's about to hit us, Jack.
Yeah, it'll hit us and we'll know all about it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Jack, coming your way, Nashville number 1, Volume 3, 1995 to 2015.
Thank you very much.
Perfect.
Good on you, Jack.
I thoroughly endorse that one. Mm. Good work.
Oh, finally, I've got one endorsement. How long have we been doing this show?
Seven years into our association, Ray. We finally found some common ground. 13.50. Oh, here we go. 13.53.53. Adrian's on the line.
From Adrian. Adrian, good morning.
Hello, Adrian.
How are we going, boys? Good?
Terrific. Very well, thanks.
Hey, what did Jack do wrong to be punished with that? whatever he's been saying.
He
was happy to get it, Adrian.
Was he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Was it Nashville or what? Was that like
hey, Adrian, you better get to your point and get to it quickly.
Okay. Just two things. Guy, just before I talk about Origin, are you Team Talos or Team Bennett?
Look, I'm a great admirer of Gordon Tallis, so I'm over in Team Tallis.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. What about you, Ray?
Yeah, I'm Team Tallis.
Yeah, I'm Team Tallis because he's a more genuine person at the river. That's why I go to Gordon Tallis. I don't agree with a lot of things he says. I disagreed with what he said about Adam Blair. I met Adam Blair in his family. He's a terrific guy, and I'm glad he deserved to get the captaincy the other day.
Hey, can I say, I'll tell you a story I heard about Adam Blair. And he was unpopular at the West Tigers, apparently, because he went too hard at training.
Like, okay.
You know, how ridiculous is that? Yeah. That's the type of player you want in your club.
Yeah.
But he went too hard at training.
And I was just thinking, the most fiercest competitors I've seen in rugby league, in the backs, Jonathan Thurston, and the forwards, Ray Price. I mean, I think Arthur Beaton was a sensational player, probably the best forward I've ever seen, but... If I'm starting a team, with two players, Jonathan Thurston and Ray Price.
Adrian, that's a really interesting subject that you bring up.
And Adrian, given that you've endorsed JT, so to speak, is Queensland your tip Wednesday night?
No, look, so much hinges on Adam Reynolds. Mm. If he gets his kicking game right, I think New South Wales will win. I think they've got a better forward pack. I don't rate Josh Maguire that much. And I think Sam Thaiday is probably probably on his way out. And, you know, I just think that the faster pick, and even look, and
I reckon Queensland have got a few forwards. I don't think Nate Miles has played well. I don't think Aidan Guerra has played well.
But
and
how
I think
often
Sam
they
Thaiday,
lift him.
I agree with that too.
They put that maroon jumper on.
I understand.
I reckon they got him big time in the forwards. And whilst Michael Anderson's been in absolute sensational form, and if you're picking an Australian team on form, he's easily the Australian hooker. But Robbie Farah, every time he's played Origin, he's been in the top three New South Wales players every time. He's often outplayed Cameron Smith in Origin. So I can see why they went with Robbie. We're happy with just to see that happen.
That's why Laurie wanted him in the team, didn't he, Adrian?
Yeah. Sorry?
That's why Laurie wanted him in the team.
I agree with it. Even though Michael Anderson's form has been enormous. In terms of one player, when you're picking and playing against the side, whatever you think, or if you pick, you think, gee, I hope they don't. I'd have to fate that person. And the person I would have had in there is Joey Leilua. He's an absolute beast in career best form. And if he's not a better choice than Dylan Walker or even Blake Ferguson, whose form has been poor as well, I would have gone with Joey Leilua. He's been unbelievable.
He's Samoan. So anyway, I don't know what that looks like. Semi-road Rogers Fijian, so but I have to check it. You'd have to check availability on that one. Yeah, absolutely. But competitive players, Jonathan Thurston. I don't really remember seeing a lot of Ray Price, not when I could understand how competitiveness would manifest itself in a game. But from what I've read,
Mr. Perpetual Motion for a reason, Jim. He never stopped.
Well, Peter Sterling's rap on him in his book is just without peer. 1353 53, the open line number, and no surprise too that when he retired from the Eels, they stopped winning premierships. Which sort of sums it up, doesn't it? 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Tab Market Movers increase your chance of backing a winner.
From midday on Sky Sports Radio, the National Racing Service has all the action, interviews and the all-important Tab Market Movers.
31-17, Mr. Somerville. Might make him a Tab Market Mover. Mr. Somerville, 31-17.
Mr. Somerville on the outside. He goes up, he grabs the lead and he wins by a length and a half.
Make Tab Market Movers an everyday part of your punting day and night here on Sky Sports Radio.
The best builders are master builders, and they get their insurance from the industry experts. MBA Insurance Services. The best builders, suppliers and trade contractors are reliable and honest and protect themselves and their clients with the right insurances. Get genuine expert advice on builder's warranty, contract works and liability, plant, professional indemnity and much more. Yep, all the insurances required to protect you and your client. Call MBA Insurance Services today, 85 86 3555.
We've bumped Pascalides, not forever, just while this
penalty shootout.
It's currently 2-1 Real Madrid, but they've had no misses. As producer Jeremy said, no heroes in this, just villains. I don't agree with him. Mark Schwarzer was a hero.
You'd be the one to miss, wouldn't you?
Oh, it'd be terrible. Atletico, no problem. 2-2. ZNZ Jewellers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. ZNZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Junior Referees.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
What about Gareth Bale for that one? It's the slowest approach to a penalty, and he
nailed it.
No problem. Yeah. In the corner. Speaking of nailing it, this bloke has nailed it over the last few years. He always seems to tip the winner around State of Origin time. He's followed Queensland for a lot of the last few years, which is understandable, but let's see what he likes this time around. Zorb is on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, guys. Brush one Greek and get another one.
Good morning, Pete.
Yeah, we can easily substitute those Greeks. Now, before we get to some of the topics that you were wanting to talk about, the selection of Dylan Walker, Zorb. Now, you've watched him obviously very closely this year. To me, I'm surprised.
Mystified?
Yeah, mystified is probably a better word for it. What about you?
Well, I watch him every week and I watch him at training. And in a game shortly, he's going to explode. He's just been so close to it. And I think they've realised that. Let's not forget that he's played for Australia and he's won a premiership.
Sure.
He's going to play for New South Wales after he's debuted for Australia. Mm. Look, I can understand the mystery around him being selected, but New South Wales have had to inject some youth, and he's a talent, And I think in that sort of company, we might see the best of D-Walks.
How are they going to use him, Zorb?
I think they're going to use him essentially out wide,
right,
and use his speed. And I think that's what they're trying to catch Queensland out with.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
What would you make of the teams, particularly New South Wales team, Zorb?
Look, I think whichever side we picked, we're going to get some criticism. I really think that it's going to come down to, you know, the forward clash. It always does. And, you know, New South Wales have made no secret of the fact that that they're going to try and take them on up front. Gallen, Bird, Clemmer, Cordner. Those players are all powerhouse players, albeit with skill. But their intentions are going to be pretty clear. They're going to try and rattle Queensland up the middle. And Queensland's forward pack is essentially an aging one, as is New South Wales in some parts. So it's going to be not a lot different to what we've seen before. We haven't been able to match them there. It's so important that game one is won, because New South Wales have to win game one to win the series. Of 13 series won by New South Wales, 11 have come after they've won in game one. And let's not forget that this New South Wales side has a lot of players in that are scarred from that 52-6 loss last year, which Queensland wrapped up the series in, and Queensland chasing 9 in a row. They've got to be favourites. So it's going to be a game where New South Wales really, really have to use the crowd, really have to use everything they've got to try and come up with this one. I think game one, they're a chance. If they don't win game one, forget about the series.
Agree. Yeah, just to update the listeners, Real Madrid have won. Cristiano Ronaldo, after an Atletico player missed his penalty shot, up stepped Cristiano Ronaldo. He slotted it in, and off came the shirt. So millions and millions of people around the world will be very, very happy with that. Real Madrid winning the Champions League final. Now, the NRL draw, Zorb. I can't believe you want to talk about this, I guess, in glowing terms.
Roll up, roll up, roll up to the NRL lucky dip draw for State of Origin time. And the winners are West Tigers and St. George Illawarra. What a joke. Here we have a competition that is the elite rugby league competition in the world.
Correct.
And here we have games being played where sides are just decimated because of a rugby league game that stops the nation, I know, but for the life of me, West Tigers knock over the Broncos 19-18. St. George Illawarra knock over the Cowboys 14-10. Both sides depleted because of Origin. Teams 1 and 2 are beaten by teams way down the bottom of the ladder and now are given some hope of making a bit of a charge for the top 8. It's just who gets the lucky dip draw. It's not about skill and ability. It's about luck. They've got hit in the backside by a rainbow, both those clubs.
What's the answer, Zorb? State of Origin standalone?
It has to be.
Got to be.
It has to be. I mean, you can't wreck a competition. It's an uneven field. It's uneven enough now with the way games are played and short turnarounds. Just to do this again, each year we complain about it. Each year it happens. The league don't do anything about it, but it is just scandalous.
I agree. The longer that they go on with without standalone weekends, it hurts the NRL so much. Just not even from a fairness point of view, just from fans going to games and seeing the best players. Anyway, you expect Cooper Cronk to play though, right?
I do, but it really doesn't matter if he plays or he doesn't play. They're just as strong.
Ooh.
As a matter of fact, I think they're a little bit stronger. When the North Queensland halves, where Thurston goes to halfback and Michael Morgan plays 5'8", I mean, they know each other inside out now. They'll run the show just as Cooper and Thurston will. But I don't like seeing Thurston at 5'8". He's the best halfback I've ever seen. And I just think it's stupid to put him at 5'8". I know halves and 5'8"s are just numbers these days, the way they play the game. But, I mean, There's nothing to say that it shouldn't be the other way around anyway. But I think Cooper will play, and if he doesn't play, it won't matter. It'll be a cracker of a duel though, because Adam Reynolds and James Maloney, they just love playing football. They're gutsy, they're talented, they're born to play the game, they look like they enjoy playing the game, they play with a smile on their face. I love what what's happened at Cronulla since Maloney's gone there. I think he's just injected a will to win and a bit of a fun into a pretty dour lot. They looked as though they'd, you know, lost their last $5 note, the Sharks, in recent years, but now they're playing with a smile on their face. And I think this bloke has done it. They say he's a bit of a joker around the team. He's a country kid that's just made the most of being a journeyman in the game. And everywhere he's gone, he's found success and the teams have had success. I think he'll be great this time around in Origin.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. And just hopefully Reynolds brings his kicking game. That could be so vital. So Cameron Smith, he's had to wait a long time, but he got the apology he wanted.
He did, and full marks to him. He's a quality person. He's a quality player. And he stuck by his guns on that, and I don't blame him. And it shows what the respect he has in the game for a television station to give him an apology. Channel 9's apology to Smith was long overdue, coming over that Alex McKinnon 60 Minutes story. But it's better late than never. But why was it done on the Footy Show instead of 60 Minutes coming out and apologising? Because that's where the damage was done to Cameron's reputation, and I would have thought that it would have come from there, but no sign of them doing anything.
I totally agree with you.
Now that he did a good job, but why was it on the Footy Show?
If you have to do it, and if you want to do it, then surely the people who
made the blue
besmirched his name in many ways should have been the ones to do it.
I would have thought so, Jimmy.
And the other thing about it is, it's not bad too from Cameron Smith, because you know when he speaks on the game, you listen because he's so insightful. And of course, when he retires, which is not far away, you'd rather have two television network bidding for your services rather than just one.
Oh, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And I think he will be something special on television in a media career. But so too will the little bloke we were just talking about, Cooper Cronk. And I understand he's had a few meetings already with Fox Sports. And every time I watch him interviewed, he is sensational. Usually, when he's walking off at half time, or it's an impromptu one, where a lot of players struggle and a lot of interviewers struggle because it's a tough gig to say, you know, there's not much you can say as a player is walking to the shed gasping for air, but he always seems to say something that's sensible.
He's a different sort of fella, they tell me, Cooper Cronk. I don't know him very well, but they said, you know, if he ended up going and studying at Harvard.
Well, we've interviewed him here. He's very intelligent, isn't he?
Highly intelligent. Highly intelligent, yeah. Zorb, we better get some zappers out here. Are you going to go NRL or are you going to go Origin?
I'm going to go Origin.
Okay.
I'm going to go the Blues 1-12.
Whoa! So the Reynolds kicking game's working no problem. Maloney's running the show. Farrah plays well. The big forwards do it all.
The win, crowd, all that up to New South Wales in game one. If they don't, it's all over Red Rover.
All right, New South Wales 1-12, $2.75.
Okay, haven't been wrong in 8 years, so let's go.
Good stuff. Have a great day, Zorb.
See you, boys. See you,
Peter Peters with his thoughts on rugby league. If you want to have a challenge to that, if you agree or disagree, let us know. 1353 53, the open line number. Just to repeat, he likes New South Wales 1-12, paying $2.75 at tab.com.au. A break and back with Andy Pascalidis.
Whether you're spending your Christmas bonus or looking forward to a baby bonus, enjoying your bonus meal or clocking up bonus points, it's all an added bonus. But you'll get a better bonus at Hyundai this end of financial year with a fantastic $1,500 factory bonus for ABN buyers on Australia's best-loved commercial van, the Hyundai iLoan. Our seize the deal sale won't last, so seize this brilliant bonus offer today at your local Hyundai dealer.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UBeaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors.
Gold Edge Syndications are offering shares in a beautifully bred daughter of Nekone, currently with a strike rate of over 50% winners to runners. Wow. This filly's dam site is littered with 9 Group 1 winners, and her trainer, Gary Portelli, is aiming her at the early 2-year-old races. Just $3,495 for a 5% share and under $250 fixed fee per month. It's really affordable, isn't it?
Mm,
you get in
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And we heard from Adam Hieronymus about the Hippo Clan and how much fun you can have there. $3,495 for that 5% share. Visit goldedge.com.au now. Goldedge, goldedge.com.au now. AFSL 260214. Enjoy the ride with Gold Edge Syndications.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Roll up, question one of the Event Cinemas quiz, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Who were the lucky dip winners, according to Zorba, in the NRL draw? Who were the lucky dip winners, according to Zorba, in the NRL draw? Annie Pascalides, what drama we have just had in that Champions League final. Absolutely incredible. And give us an insight into the fellow who was fourth up for Atletico, who missed the goal, who I guess is going to be remembered forever.
Yeah, he will be. Good morning, gents. He'll be in those sport quizzes that you see hosted around the globe. Mm. Who was the penalty take that failed with their fourth kick? It was one front. And didn't hit it cleanly. It was more the inside of the ankle area. He got it onto the post, but that was the eighth kick. And you couldn't have written a better script when you think about it. Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored 16 goals in the Champions League, 51 goals this season, he steps up for the pressure kick. He delivers 11 titles in this competition for Real Madrid, a record for them. Mm. A match watched by about 180, 190 million around the globe. They call it the Super Bowl of football. Atletico, for them, no chance for revenge after being beaten by Real Madrid in 2014 in the very same competition at this stage of the competition as well. 4-1 in 2014 after extra time as well. But, you know, this game's worth, I think, around $24 billion in terms of what they earn. And there'll be on flows, obviously, for Real Madrid commercially.
Sure.
You know that. There's the other game that was worth $200 million to the victor at Wembley earlier. Hull beating Sheffield Wednesday, they go up to the Premiership. That's huge for them, obviously. They're back 370 days after being relegated. And Stephen Bruce actually becomes the first manager to win promotion to the Premier League on 4 occasions.
Wow.
Second with Hull and twice before with Birmingham, actually. I remember going across to the UK and actually Stan Lazaridis was playing at Birmingham the year they got promoted. So a couple of big games to report on, and sadly for Sheffield Wednesday, 16 years since they played in the top flight, they miss out again.
Mm. And Andy, the Socceroos took on England at the Stadium of Light yesterday morning, lost 2-1. An own goal late in the game was the only joy for the Socceroos.
Yeah, the OG, but you know what? We didn't play too badly, to be honest. I thought our midfield did extremely well. Aaron Moy, for mine, he looks so comfortable playing at that level of football.
Mm.
I know they're all talking about going to, you know, Rangers or going to Club Bruges, but, you know, at the end of the day, a player like Aaron Moy is at Melbourne City. It's a global entity, as we know.
Mm.
The alliance with Manchester City, I'll be quite honest with you. If I was Melbourne City or if I was Manchester City, bring him into that squad. Get him some experience. Even if you loan him out during the season to a championship side, I wouldn't be selling him outside of the company that they have. They've got teams all around the world now. And I've got to be honest with you, I think Aaron Moy could play in the Premier League.
I was going to say, but with a side as strong as Man City, would he get any game time?
Well, that's the problem, whether he would get any game time. But the Man City want to sell him now, and they know that they can get some nice coin, because you're looking at Tom Rogic now, who's, again, he had a good game, as we said.
Yeah.
So did Mile Jedinak too. Credit to Mile as well. But there's potential here for Rogic, obviously, this $14 million offer from Arsenal. But there's also talk that Fiorentina and Valencia are also interested in him. And just to give you clarity of the money side of it, Arsenal's weekly bill, I think the wage bill is around $3.5 to $4 million a week. That's a week.
Yeah.
Mm. So people have said to me, oh, mate, $14 million, geez, that's a lot of coin. Well, when you're looking at some of the other players they're trying to buy for 5, 6, 7 times the amount, it's a very, very good investment for Arsene Wenger.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, just going to break in here. If you want to be a part of the ZNZ quiz, call now. 1353 53. Call now. We'll do that straight after Andy. So if you'd like to be a part of that quiz, your chance to win a ZNZ watch in the team colours of your choice, call now. 1353 53.
And Andy, big news here. Mark Bridge, Western Sydney Wanderers all-time leading scorer. He's moving to Asia.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I mean, a foundation player. Obviously, also played at the Jets and Sydney FC. He's won a few titles and obviously helped the Wanderers win the Asian Champions League and play in three grand finals. So many records, but well done. He's heading off to Thailand. And that's where, you know, at this stage of his life, he's 30 years old. He's setting himself up for the future. I would think going across to there, he'd be on at least, I would say at least 300 a season. You wouldn't want to leave Australia for anything less. And good luck to him. Real favourite player, and it gives Tony Popovich the opportunity now to continue the rebuild, because I think that's about seven players that have left the club in the off season.
And this was after there were 17 new players the year before. Yeah, Graham Arnold's done a little bit of the same thing too at Sydney FC, Andy.
Yeah, Arnie's done the same thing. You're right. Within hours, wasn't it? I mean, within a day of the exit from the Asian Champions League. And Kevin Muscat also doing the same thing. I read with interest three more players are out the door overnight. And sad, obviously, in a sense that Archie Thompson has finished there, and Barbaroussis and Finkler's on the way, and Del Pierre's retired. So some real changes now in the A-League, particularly for those three clubs, the Wanderers, Sydney, and, of course, Melbourne Victory.
Three of the biggest clubs, too. Good on you, Andy. We appreciate that. Let's chat next week.
We will indeed, mate. Take care, boys. Have a good week, and all the best to the listeners.
Thank you. Andy Pascalidis there. No need to have any more callers, because we've got our two players for the ZNZ quiz. Just a score update, Raymond.
Is it 12-8?
No.
No?
It's 12-9.
I'm back in the hunt.
Yeah, well,
I think you're opening the batting this week.
Okay, all right. I'll open the batting with Dave from down there at Nowra. G'day, Dave.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, really well. Let's go. Who do the Raiders play in the NRL today? Is it the Bulldogs, the Broncos, or the Tigers?
Tigers. No, sorry.
Oh, hang on. Hamish. Panel operator Hamish. What are you saying? Up or down, producer Jeremy? That's a big down.
This is tough.
He never liked me. He just wants me to fail. They play the Bulldogs, Dave.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I knew you knew that too. Unfortunately, circumstances were out of our control.
No, it's all good.
Which of these sides was the lowest on the NRL ladder after round 11? Was it the Seagulls, the Warriors, or the West Tigers?
The Warriors.
I love the way you said it twice.
That's all right. You got it. That's all.
Spot on. Well done. And Dave, after 11 rounds, who led the NRL in tackles made? Was it Jake Friend, Cam Smith, or Mitch Rain?
Cam Smith.
Mate, Cam Smith had made 479, Mitch Rain 456, but Jake Friend 604.
That's incredible.
Standout leader in the competition. Plays 80 minutes every week. All right, Dave, stay on the line. Mate, you are one from three. Raymond? Okay.
Paul, good morning.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Terrific, Paul. Hey, Paul. One to tie, two to win. Best of luck. Here's question number one. Who do the Eels play in the NRL on Monday night?
Newcastle.
Good solid start, Paul. Oh,
hey,
well done.
Now you're showing off, Paul.
That's
waiting.
Right.
Didn't even wait till you get the options.
Good on you, Paul. It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Long as you know the answers, Paul. Question number two. Which of these sides was highest on the NRL ladder after round 11? The Rabbitohs, the Panthers, or the Titans?
Panthers.
Well done, Paul. Two from two. Congratulations. What's your team, Paul?
I'll go for Parramatta.
No wonder he knew that first question, Jim. Well done, Paul. Congratulations. Stay on the line. We'll get a ZNZ quiz in the Parramatta Eels colours coming out your way, Paul.
You will have to declare that, though, that it is a legal third-party agreement that we've done with the ZNZ. Okay, Paul, if you could just declare that to the Australian Tax Office, that it was gifted to you, and it was done because you were the best player in the quiz. So just Keep everything above board.
You're a tough man, Jimmy.
Keep everything above board. 13-53-53. Well done. What scoreline now, Raymond?
12-10.
12-10.
Game on, Jimmy
Mate,
Smith.
Will you take the 2 points if you offer the penalty?
I'm going to go for the try.
Game, the try. Game on. I love it, Ray.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program. And that the eagle-eyed Phil has just continued to explain this whole thing.
I'm really happy about this, actually.
hey, Jimmy, there was a Queensland horse called Chief De Beers. Oh, yeah, I know Chief De Beers. Who won 20 times at Doomba but never at Eagle Farm. Regards, eagle-eyed Phil. I knew that, too. But I didn't know why. Now I know.
Like that tight turning track.
Did he like that tight turning track? Did he? What, did he have a little trot? Did he?
Hey,
did he
open Jimmy, gate? There's a couple of our listeners who raised very good points on Zorba's point about a standalone weekend.
Yes.
This is one listener. I take Zorba's point about the Broncos and the Cowboys being depleted. No doubt the numbers are huge, but what he failed to mention is the fact that their opposition were missing their best players too. I would say that Josh Dugan is the Dragons' most influential and best player every week.
I agree.
And as for the Tigers, their best prop and hooker, Woods and Farrah, were out of the game. I just think it brings them back to the rest of the field as well. Maybe unfair, but I think both the games this weekend were exciting and went down to the wire, so I don't see a huge problem with it.
No, they were lucky that the games were close. But the Broncos had 6 out, the Tigers had 2 out.
Mm.
The Dragons had 1 out, and the Cowboys had 5 out.
I know what you're saying.
You'd have to take the five best to make it even.
If we were to have a standalone weekend, Jimmy.
Standalone.
Just one game? What, Friday night, Sunday, nothing else?
Sunday night, probably. I know they've tried it before. The broadcaster would love it. Mm. Package up some more content for the Friday and the Saturday.
What would you have there?
Pacific Test.
Okay.
Or whatever the New Zealand equivalent is.
You need
for
to
State
have
of
something,
Origin.
Jim.
Just give them something.
Mm.
No problem. 13-53-53. Hello, Ron.
Morning, Jim.
What do you got for us, mate?
I just got some names that I agree with the standalone. I mean, can you imagine Manchester United or Chelsea letting their players play mid-season in some unbelievable?
Yeah, good point, Ron.
Okay, just some names. George Best, the soccer.
Oh, yeah, Georgie Best, love it.
I saw there was a sign up when he had his funeral and it was said, Pele good, Maradona better, George Best.
Isn't
love it.
Great, eh?
Yeah.
A couple more, mate. Usain Bolt for track and field.
Oh, yeah, good
that's
point.
A good
yeah.
one.
And that's a perfect name for him, isn't it? Ron?
Yeah. Those are like that. The two golfers, player, obviously Gary
Player.
Gary
Player.
Chip Beck.
Chip Beck.
And Hooksy for cricket.
David Hooks.
Oh,
you put some thought into this, Ron.
And Margaret Court for tennis.
Ron.
Ron, here we go. Two CDs. Bob Dylan's Four Names, which Jimmy absolutely loves.
Yeah,
and I reckon, Ron, you'd be a Deep Purple fan. Deep Purple to the rising sun in Tokyo. They're coming your way, Ron.
Hello.
Ron, make sure we're going to get them and tweet them out because they're very, very clever.
Okay. Hey, just before you go.
Yeah.
I was at the Maury Picnic Fest today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A great day, but the other one, if you wanted some fun, Google up humorous and unfortunate sporting names.
Oh.
I think we did before the show when we realised there's a lot we couldn't use, Ron.
There aren't any you can
bring.
No, exactly. Anyway, listen to you next week.
Good on you, Ron. Those two CDs are coming your way, mate.
That was a great call.
Yeah, brilliant.
That was a great call. And he's right. We did Google those notes. We can't use any of them. 1353-53, the open line number. Time to say good morning for the first time to Tanya. G'day, Tan.
Hello there. Good morning, everyone. Racing today at Maruya and Dubbo. We'll start with Maruya, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, rail normal, and 13 scratchings. Out of the first, take 4, Johnny on the Spot, number 4. Race 2, number 1, Barksdale, number 1. Out of the third, number 7, Shay Zooms, number 7. Race 4, take out 5, First Order, 8, Torn Honour, and 13, Wooby, 5, 8, and 13. Race 5 is clear. To race 6, number 4, I'm Rockin', 16, Lyndon Doom, and 17, Black Kamana. 4, 16, and 17 from race 6. Race 7, number 4, Cop a Nip. 5, Tuscan Rain. 17, Coz Can't Wait. And 18, Where's Scotty? 4, 5, 17 and 18 from race 7 at Maruya. Dubbo, the weather is overcast. The track a heavy 9. Rail true, penetrometer 6.05 and 27 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, Belbeau, number 1 from the first. Race 2, number 4, Suman the Yak. 6, Van Bloss. 12, Marnero. And 16, Rise Me Up. 4, 6, 12 and 16. Race 3, number 3, Dassault Mirage. 9, Harada River. 11, Pensita. 15, Star Catcher. 16, Sanctaria. And 17, She's a Joker. 3, 9, 11, 15, 16 and 17. Race 4, number 4, Landuncan. And 6, Lafani. 4 and 6 from race 4. Race 5 is clear. Out of the 6, number 2, Electric Horseman. 10, Bless This Day. And 12, Seador. 2, 10 and 12. To race 7, take out 6, 2, Penny Blue. 14, Litigation. 15, Anytime Baby. And 17, Green for Go. 6, 14, 15 and 17. Race 8, number 2, Murangi. 4, Campfire. 9, Sanvel. 13, Moss My Name. 14, Fair Isle Miss. 17, Shadow of Excellence. And 18, Victorian Crown. 2, 4, 9, 13, 14, 17 and 18 from race 8 at Dubbo.
And some tips today. We'll stay at Dubbo where we are in race 3, number 8, The Run. The best bet there at Dubbo for mine, Cody Nestor rides. And at Maruya, Jimmy, race 3 again.
Yep.
Number 1, Captain Jazz, bet of the day.
Bet of the day, $3.20 at the moment. Get on now because you'll lose that price as soon as Ray Thomas tips them. That's what happened to War Pig last week.
I think we were all on War Pig, weren't we?
Yeah, I certainly wasn't.
But a win's a win, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely, even at $2.20. 1353.53, the open line number. We've got a big last hour coming up to the program. Bouncing Benny Elias will have a chat to Benny about the upcoming Origin. Kevin Walters will take us in the Queen.